This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to TVI. Carl Donnelly here.
Julian Dean. Hi.
Hi. Episode 124. I think it's 124. Is it 125? I think it's 124.
124. My old door number.
Hello. Hang on a sec. I'm about to be stormed by a baby.
Hello, baby.
Get out of here. I'm recording a thing. She came. She ran in all naked, wanted to see what I was up to. Anyway, we'll leave that in. People can hear a baby running in the background. This is a very fun episode we recorded just at the last weekend with comedian, singer, funny all-round person Jordan Gray.
It's good, wasn't it?
It was the longest
pause. I was just blowing smoke out.
I was wondering.
Well, wait.
Yeah, it was really fun. It's a really fun episode. She's very good value. And we talk about a bunch of stuff. And we also, anyway, new information. Patrons have just got a little sneak preview of the studio we're going to be using down the line.
TVI Towers.
And basically, it looks like... I think with the timing, it looks like we're starting in September. We're going to start doing these main episodes in the studio. So you'll be able to see actual footage of us talking to another human being in the same room.
It's exciting, isn't it?
It's nice. Even just yesterday, it was nice. We were just sitting there having a coffee, having a chat. And it was like, this is what conversations are meant to be like. Zoom does its job. But, you know,
yeah, it's good, I guess, if guests can't get to London or whatever.
Yeah, there'll always be a place for it, but you don't want it to be...
And the get-togethers as well on Patreon would be Zoom, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Everyone in the studio.
But yeah, it is, you know, there is a place for Zoom. I'm not saying Zoom has been, you know, it's saved the day, isn't it, during the pandemic.
Yeah, it's great, man.
But, you know, it's nice to be back face-to-face with people.
No, it was good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. So we've put a couple of clips have gone out for the non-patrons on social media, so you can see what we're talking about. But the patrons got to watch the full catch-up of us sitting in a studio talking about the plans and just talking about a bunch of other stuff. So there we go. That's at patreon.com/wearetvi.
Sorted.
All right, that's it. Kick back and enjoy this episode of us chatting to Jordan Gray.
Enjoy your day, people.
Recording in progress. Hi, everyone. Welcome to TVI, formerly Two Vegan Idiots. Carl Donnelly here.
Julian Dean here. Hi.
Hi, and guest Jordan Gray. Hello, Jordan.
Hello, Jordan. Gentlemen, thanks for having me on your podcast.
Thanks
your,
for coming
an on. Acronized podcast, should I say?
Yeah, it's because we used to be called. It was Two Vegan Idiots, and we thought
That's a good word. Acronized.
Acronized, yeah. Is that?
Might not be real, but
it might not be real. It's true. We just believed you. You said it. You said it with the confidence of somebody who thought this is, or knew it. But
it puts you in the mind. Yeah. Well, that's like most acronyms, I suppose. It puts you in the mind of the time variance authority of the recent Loki TV series. The TVA is an institution in that show. So now it makes you sound more official. Like you're in charge of the time thread of the universe.
Are you saying we're not actually official? That's what I'm hearing.
A friend of mine is in that TV show, and she's an actor, and she has gone from just like she was. You know, when I met her, she was just doing bits of theatre, the popping up in a little bit of telly here and there, and now she's literally like a Hollywood actor.
Blimey.
It's mad. Like she's she's in the new series by the people that did The Wire. Like she's now just like super. Yeah, she was like. Well, I think she was quite. I've not seen Loki, but I think she was one of like the main characters.
I've never heard of Loki. What is it?
It's one of the Marvel spin-offy things.
It's very low key. It's very low key.
Okay. Too low key for me.
I just realised I said that in such a patronising. It's one of their Marvel things.
Come on, Julian, shut up. You've got a kid interrupting.
You hear a lot of stories about people, Marvel being the thing that's launched a lot of comedian or comedy writer performers' careers. They don't tend to appear as comedy characters, but the writers' careers are made by Marvel.
It's mad, isn't it? Who would have known? Yeah. I was going to say that there is a bit of background noise, which I apologise for, but it's my neighbours, one of them's a DJ. He organised a club night round the corner.
He's just come back from the army.
But they literally pulled an all-nighter and are now shit-faced out on the front drive, clearing up loads of stuff, like loading a van. And they're so like... they're just giving away loads of free stuff to all the neighbours.
That official TVI being recorded?
But when I got home from the farmer's market, they gave me a pallet of water bottles, a bottle of Jägermeister, a litre thing of pineapple juice. They just gave me this selection of stuff that was left over from the bar. They gave me a box of fresh mint that they had from Mojitos. And they're just very loud.
When you're in the mind frame of I never want to see this stuff again, you would try and shift it after a night. First thought would be store that for next time. Well, I never have to pay for it again.
I said that to him, but he is currently, you know, on a 14-hour coke binge, so he's not exactly thinking straight.
Probably on the old Mandy, in it, telling everyone.
No, I mean, you know, gifts. I think he's on the. I think he's on the older. Colombian marching powder, mate. You know, when you're talking to someone that you can just, they're proper, just like all nighter. He had like sort of white stuff around the edge of his mouth.
That's the worst.
Dehydration.
I've vomited because of people talking to me like that. I was trying to avoid someone once because they were, you know, when they're really in your face.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like next to my face, and Lumen. He had white bits on his mouth, and I pretended to do my shoelace up to get away from him, but he came down with me.
Oh man, it's funny, isn't it?
People that learn how to communicate, they're like, the face is a really important part of it. They're taught young that you have to show your expression, so they think if you can't see their face, you don't understand.
I'm not deaf, mate. doing sign language with his mouth.
I was in a barbecue the other day and a coked up guy was mansplaining jogging to me and a friend that what jogging was.
Jogging means to run a little bit fast.
That's what he said. That's it. You must know him.
Well, and he was on coke, was he? With like white bits. What's he talking about jogging for?
But that's a classic sort of coked up conversation. You just hear somebody talking about jogging, you're like, I used to run a bit, you know?
It's just pure ego, isn't it? It's just everything's ego led.
What was his take on on jogging?
He was telling me about it was real information. There's a Swedish word. Well, I'd done PE in school, like for education,
not the
theory. Fartlek, I believe it's called.
Pronounced it.
I mean, that's just a piece of furniture from IKEA. Yeah. It's running really fast and then really slow, then really fast, then really slow to keep the
high intensity.
Yeah. But Yeah, it was just explaining.
Men doing coke.
Yeah.
Fast, slow coke. Fast, slow line.
It's yeah, it's one of them. It's a weird drug, isn't it?
Never
it's
had just, it.
It's, really, it's yeah. It's not you know. I mean, I can't judge anyone because I've done it. You know, I went through
I'm
a phase of doing it quite a lot in a quite a debauched period of my life. But you know,
this morning.
I never ever. You always just basically the next day you always regretted a lot of the stuff you said because you it was just like. Just incessant talking about absolute guff.
Oh,
do you know
God.
What I mean? I mean, which is, it's almost a tagline for this podcast. but at least here we're all sober and compass mentors.
Shit all day.
Yeah. But anyway, so welcome to the podcast, Jordan. Great. They've actually now, I think, packed up, so the sound in the background it will pass now.
Dissipated, yeah.
So they're on coke and they've got work to do on the house now?
No, they were just loading a van.
Oh, okay.
Of loads
That's
of...
hassle, though, isn't it, the morning after?
But I reckon they're at the end
still
of that all-nighter.
Shit.
While they've still got the energy, they've gone like, yeah, why don't we just clear up now? And you're just like, just go to bed, mate. Just have some sleep, you know. But
it takes such a weird pride in. Cause I never turn any drugs apart from like psychedelic drugs and lots of alcohol. So at the end of the night, when everyone else is monging, I take this weird pride in being like, "Don't worry, I'll clean up." And it was like,
yeah.
No, to a point where there's nobody there watching
as you're
me anymore.
Tripping.
Like, yeah,
I'll move the unicorns.
Well, so at times when I've just drunk a lot of alcohol and they've smoked themselves into oblivion, and like loads of people's dishwashers in other people's houses without asking, it's quite an intimate act when it was not prompted, when it was unsolicited.
Yeah.
And I used to do that all the time thinking I was helping. I think they just thought I was weird.
They're like, you ain't fucking loaded that right.
Yeah. That's it. Everyone's got their own sort of dishwasher loading technique.
Tongs up, on the forks, either tongs up or tongs down. That's almost like jam
forks,
before
I'm
cream
all,
on
always...
a scone.
Yeah. I'm a forks... Oh, actually, in mine, it's got to be forks up because the cutlery bit has small dividers.
Right.
But at my in-laws, they have a very strange technique.
Forks out the window. Forks back in the pocket.
Yeah, they all just have their individual family fork, with the crest on.
It's just an Aussie thing.
But my mate Garrett once did that and it was the happiest I've ever been. Like, we had a barbecue... And it was like, everyone was just battered. And he was just sleeping here because he couldn't obviously get a taxi home. And he woke up earlier than I did. And I got up and he'd cleaned and got a taxi home. So I didn't have that thing of like, you know, when you get up, sometimes you just wish no one had stayed at your house. If they did, you're just like, I wish everyone would just leave. I want to be alone. I want it to be quiet. So he'd left. So I had the quiet, but he'd also done all the hard work.
Yeah.
And it was just, I couldn't believe
it. That takes an interesting kind of guy to do that.
Yeah.
He's got some issues, unresolved issues that he's living out.
He's a people pleaser, but it's good.
But he fled as well. He didn't wait for the adulation.
This is
he went like an assassin.
Yeah. So just to wake you up. Sorry, I've cleaned your house. I'm fucking off now. So he didn't do anything like that.
I'd leave such a sort of a note of going, mate, you know, I just got up and thought, you'd leave
my band details.
Yeah.
It's my Monzo, no pressure.
Yeah. I lived in Sweden for quite a long time and I lived on a ranch. And the reason I lived there is because I went out there once to perform and I loved it so much. I said, can I live on your ranch? I was performing for a horse show where they breed.
That was your rider.
Yeah.
and what I ended up, diva.
a champion horse. I lived out there and then they were basically room and board. If I could live on the ranch and help out at the ranch. So I just got really good at looking after horses. But for the first couple of days I was there, I tried to overdo it. So I learned how to muck out the stables. And you're supposed to do it first thing when you wake up in the morning. And everyone comes in and does it. So I thought one day I'm going to go in and do it at like 5:30 in the morning before everyone else arrives at 7 and they'll get there and it's all done. Which sounds like a great idea, except you're not supposed to do that because it fucks up the horses. I'm waking them up at 5 in the morning like, wait, let's just get shit out of the way.
Get up.
Yeah, and then the horse person that knows about horses is like, well, now they're going to be fucked for the rest of the day. They're going to go to bed at like 9 at night. We're supposed to
babies. Well, I didn't realize that horses were
so grateful,
sensitive.
Though?
The horses showed no change to their emotions whatsoever. Yeah, but the people were sort of, I think they thought I'd try to do a good thing. But
yeah.
They're not like cars, basically. It's not a job done. They are a living thing that you can't mess up their routine.
I didn't know. Yeah, I didn't realize horses were so like they were so strict on their timings.
If they if they've learned a certain way of doing things, they're bizarre horses. Like you know, like that whole thing of if you tie a rope to like a horse and then you tie it to a fence, it gets used to thinking that that rope is the thing that's stopping it. So then if you tie that rope to a bucket, it will not try and run away. Yeah, because it thinks the rope is what stops it. They've just got used to it.
But it's like that thing.
What a dumb piece of shit.
it's like when they tie the elephant up to like something really flimsy, but it grows, and it doesn't know that it could just pull that off. It's exactly the same thing. I just used exactly the same example.
Yeah, it's not the same story.
I was using a metaphor. Just changed horse to elephant.
If you can explain jogging to me, I'm still trying to figure out what jogging is.
It's like sprinting, but you slow down.
It's like it's different. It was a different animal. But the most embarrassing thing I think you can do is when you've not been listening to what somebody's saying and then you say the same thing.
Yeah.
And they're like, I just thought I said exactly what I just said. And you just try and backpedal. I'm like, sorry, I was... basically, the truth is, look, man, I wasn't listening. I was thinking about something else while you were talking.
Just thinking about going home.
You mentioned performing in Sweden, because you're obviously you're a multi-medium performer. Is that the right way of saying it?
Maybe, yeah.
Singing? Comedy?
Yeah, done music for 10 years before comedy, and that's why I was booked out there for... I've not performed comedy in Scandinavia just yet. I've had a good go around the old Barcelona Catalonia area. They've got a lot of expats out there.
I've done a gig in Barcelona. It was good fun.
Yeah.
But they're better expats than in some countries. We talked our last episode. We had Ed Byrne on, and we talked about the worst expat countries. And we were talking about the Middle East, basically. Singapore, you meet some horrible English people in Singapore. Because they've got a sense of entitlement, where English people in like Barcelona and stuff tend to be a bit more... Well, they understand they're not going to get treated better than the locals.
Yeah,
they would in certain countries. So actually, they tend to be a bit more normal, don't they? They're a bit more...
There's a bit more cosmopolitan. White privilege in Middle East, is there?
Bit more white privilege.
No, I mean you get treated differently based on race.
Oh well, obviously, because like most expats who go to certain Middle Eastern countries and Singapore and places like that are wealthy business types, aren't they? So they instantly almost they've bought into being in a higher class, haven't they? So they get the benefits of that.
Yeah, whereas in Spain they are. Your barman's.
But are you still singing? Are you still doing music?
For corporate events, it's easy money. It's money for old rope. And I do musical comedy. I liked that combining those two things.
I think
there is two types of musical comedy. There's your Tim Minchins and your Bo Burnhams, who are singing very seriously and earnestly about ridiculous things.
Yes.
And then there's your Victoria Woods, Besser, and... I can't think of too many good examples of what I'm talking about, but they're singing about funny things in a funny way, as if are very much like your Ricky Gervais's as well, I suppose. Like you believe that I think that what I'm singing about is real and it's misguided, and I love that sort of comedy. That's where I'm at.
It's more character, I guess, would you say?
I'm an ego-based character. I'm all right at the piano, but my shtick is, look how fucking good I am at this. I keep forgetting how good I am every 5 seconds, looking down like, this is amazing, look what I'm doing.
But are really good, so it works.
Thank you. And you know what? It's the day that people stop laughing at that is the day that they must think I mean it. And then I failed. Because I'm just loving it. I'm along for the ride. Obviously, I've worked really hard to be good at piano, but it's still a lovely thing to be able to do for a living. But the day that people think I'm being serious, then that's it. I wouldn't know how to get back the joke.
Yeah. It's a hard, I think we've all got, every comedian's got that sort of thing of realizing what they're about on stage, and the moment people see, I'm very chatty and likeable. I try and be on stage, and if I ever slightly lose my temper with an audience member, then that whole thing is gone. Do you know what I mean? Because I'm Mr. Nice Guy, and I'm chatting to everyone. But if somebody's been a bit of a dickhead, and I normally play with them a bit and try and sort of deal with it that way.
Suddenly break character.
But if I suddenly just go, mate, can you fucking shut up? Like, and I get the whole audience.
Punch in the fucking face.
Because the whole audience suddenly think, oh, hang on a sec, is he not a nice man?
Yeah, which one am I supposed to believe?
Exactly. It undermines the whole what you're trying to be and get
but
across.
If they're on your side and someone's irritating the whole audience,
tone. The moment you lose your temper, if you're the chatty, nice person on stage,
I can't really be serious and have a go at someone.
Yeah.
Because then go into a joke.
You've got a dryness, though, where you could deliver something that's really harsh and biting. But if you did it without the emotional fervour, you could say the words and it would land really hard because it's like you're giving it the same energy that you would if you had an anecdote about a dog or a coffee.
Yeah, the same, has to be consistent, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But that's it.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing. It's evolutionary biology. People can't handle inconsistency in nature. We don't
Otherwise, things change their shape.
And that's my whole. I've got this complex. I'm a transgender person. I know it's audio for your main listeners and I don't know if that would make a difference for most people. I sometimes think that because I'm a proper tomboy, it seems like what a fucking waste of time and effort that I got all this way to just just wear a hat and shirt and jeans. I play with that. I'll come out sometimes really dulled up, blah, 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 and I just come to the mic and I'm like, all right, how's it going? And just we're straight off that. Now we're
Barry White.
But it playing with that, it's hard to. I like killing with kindness as well.
Yeah.
What you were saying, you can stay in that energy, and if you can do a joke about them that's self-effacing to yourself, that's gold, isn't it? Surely that's gold.
Yeah,
if you
want
to shut somebody up by, when you're transgender, it's the easiest thing in the world because there's an inherent thing. I don't know, straight guys, there's a tension, and if I can play with their tension while making a joke about my own knob or whatever, then we're all in this together,
we had Bethany Black on, and she was talked about how she, because obviously she's talked about being trans for years on stage, and she said basically currently in the last year or two she's noticed a slight shift that it almost creates more tension in the room talking about it because it's suddenly become a bit more currently become a topic that's a bit more of a mainstream conversation than it used to be, sort of such a novelty to people that didn't know anything about it. You know what I mean? It's almost like, oh, I can't believe I've just seen a trans person. Whereas now, because it is more discussed, like she said, actually she finds a bit more often there's a bit more resistance from certain audience members.
It's such a nuanced thing.
Is that because it's become a bit political and stuff? Do you think?
Yeah, maybe. Or just I think also there is that thing of
the left and the right.
I suppose it has started to be. But yeah, I know what you mean. It's now discussed with like more people would have an opinion on it now than would 10, 15 years ago, because a lot of people wouldn't have even known really about it.
Do you know how bizarre it is as well? Of course, you can only guess, but it would be an educated guess to think that the majority of transgender people are left-leaning, well-meaning people. But yet the tokenistic transgender person is Caitlyn Jenner, who's a right-wing Republican.
That's the most famous one on Earth.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's really...
It's not that, is it? Yeah, it's not that trans people are more on the left. I guess it's...
I would say that they are, but that would be an estimated guess.
Because
it's about...
But it doesn't mean... Because someone's transgender, they're on the left, does it?
Left means novelty. Like, as a really boiled down thing, left means novelty-seeking behaviour. Things will change, make them better, make them whatever.
Yeah,
right
yeah.
means conserve things, keep them the way they are.
We've
definitely not kept things
Too
the way
right.
they are. That's
that's true.
But there is a nuance to it. My absolute 100% shtick, and it will always be this, is I'm on the front line of middle England. I really love... I don't use words, for example, like... I'm not educating people like cisgender and all this stuff. That's a good conversation to have in that realm.
It's not
my realm. I'm coming out there like, oh, what the fuck is this? Let's chat about it. I'm Russell Brand with tits. That is definitely my... That's my world.
That's a very good... that'd be a good quote to get in a review.
Yeah. I said that because that's what I got from Steve Bennett. Who said
Did you really?
Tits. Yeah.
Oh my God, that is a funny quote, you know what I mean? It's rare that Bennett pulls out a funny quote. Did you see the Chortle thing this week? Everyone was sharing. I find it fascinating. So many comedians spend all their time saying they don't care about Chortle. I don't care about
Chortle. And then fucking make them trend on Twitter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then they make them loads of advertising revenue from a clickbait headline. They basically, Rick Molland, the comedian, just did like a sort of one of them Edinburgh interviews. You know, it's like sort of a quick snap, like sort of short, snappy interview questions. And I think he got asked about Zoom gigs, and he just in that classic comedian's way would say, like, no one likes Zoom gigs. It's great to be back live. That's all he said, really. And basically, the headline was everyone hated Zoom gigs or something like that. And then naturally, loads of sort of well-meaning types started sharing it, going, well, fucking obviously you don't know about disabled people, like that thing of like basically accusing Rick of sort of being ableist and forgetting that some people did like Zoom gigs. It's like he wasn't making a slight. He was literally doing an interview where he said he didn't like Zoom gigs, but he also slightly generalised because it was a funny interview.
Yeah,
it was mad. It was such an overreaction, yeah. And it literally was people did exactly what Chortle want people to share that, so they went for the clickbaity headline, and just comedians fell for it hook, line and sinker. Like, I'm not having a go at the comedians, people I really like shared it with a sort of like, actually some of us really did enjoy Zoom gigs, it got us through a very financially troubling time. It's like, again, you don't need to
you're
say
you're allowed
that.
To enjoy them as people are allowed to hate them. It's what? So everyone has to like them.
It was so
I
bizarre.
Quite liked them, to be honest.
I enjoyed them a lot, yeah.
I did like them as well. There is that.
There's 100% success rate in this conversation of people that enjoyed the Zoom gigs.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, but none of us are upset that somebody else said they didn't enjoy it, which is
it'd be mad if everyone had the same opinion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It'd be insane.
I did a TV show called The Voice in 2016.
Come on to this next and ask you about The Voice.
Oh, well, it's pertinent to what we're chatting about because when your episode's about to go live, you go to your local BBC radio station, so mine's BBC Essex, and went in for an interview. It's like, oh, it's going to be on tonight. And the guy had no idea what being transgender was at all. It's a really awkward conversation. And it literally, our conversation ended up getting used as educational material for other stations as how to not interview transgender. But the reason I bring it up is because...
Don't do this.
He said to me, are you transgender on... in real life or just on stage? I was like, well, that's a weird fucking question.
Just and quickly I, have an operation in the green room.
Yeah, it's
room
just a little character
gig.
I'm trying.
What's your rider? I want a surgeon.
Well, so I said to him, that what you're talking about is like a drag performer.
Yeah.
I'm not one of them.
Yeah,
I love
drag
queens, but I'm not one. And the article that came out was Jordan Gray, I'm transgender, not a drag queen, exclamation mark.
God.
And those drag queens like, well, actually, you know, they find that there's all different kinds. It's like, that wasn't the point.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like half my... listeners' base that I've insulted by accident.
You also don't want to upset drag queens. They are notoriously
notoriously 6 foot tall.
it's so annoying that's what's happened to, not journalism is the wrong word, but like basically that's what they got to do, isn't it? They're trying to share their news articles and all these things. So
it's
the only way to do that
tyranny, they say.
It's
I suppose that was just a naive question, I guess, wasn't it? It didn't mean any bad intent, but it was pretty stupid.
Exactly, and that's the weirdest part of this whole thing. I was going to say lifestyle choice then as a joke, and then I thought, out of context, that's going to set. It's just going to be the exact same thing.
That's what we'd use as the headline for this podcast. Being trans is a lifestyle choice.
The weirdest thing about it is that people make mistakes all day long, and who can get upset about a mistake? It's like a child touching a radiator. You don't want to do it. But if they do, you don't say, oh, you fucking idiot. You say, no, don't do that. So people get stuff
if it's
wrong.
If it's turned off, then it's not a thing, is it? Don't matter. But
that's true. I'm not sure how that analogy stretches.
Just thought I'd add to it. Do you know
it's heartbreaking every time it happens, but who do you blame? You can't say that. You can say that's not a very nice thing you said, but you can't say like that your intention was not very nice because that's...
I suppose that is often, I think that's what's happened in this sort of social media ages. People have sort of often forget about intention as being more important, really, than, you know, if somebody is sort of, their intentions are good but they're just a bit uninformed and they say something a bit offhand, they're the person that, if you actually go, look, what you said there was actually, just so you know, wasn't very sensitive, they're the people that go, oh shit, sorry, and they'll be like, whereas, you know, if the assumption that their intentions were bad just because what actually came out sounded bad is That's a bad habit to get into, isn't it?
Yeah. There's a bloke the other day at a gig, just a little mixed bill, and at the end he said, I thought it was a proper dirty football man. I can't think of a good analogy. It was just a really horrible nothing wrong with football. And he comes up at the end, and I thought he was going to try and have a pop or something. And he goes, I just wanted to say, I enjoyed that very much. You remind me of Karen Carpenter. With nicer tits. And I was like, that's the nicest thing that man could have said. I'll take that as an absolute win. It's not an ideal thing to say to a person, but sure, that's probably his nicest thing.
He probably had to really work up to give you a compliment. Yeah. Like, I'm just going to go and say so. I just want to say so. He was trying to be so nice. And he probably said everything, like, and he panicked and added the tits bit at the end as a sort of like, oh, I've got to say tits.
Maybe it's because he was talking to comedians and he thought, oh, yes. I've learned the patter. Got to close strong.
What was the, so talk us through the voice, because we discussed this when we saw you last, but you know, that's a cool thing to have done.
It was
in your audition, who turned round?
No one turned round. It's the first time that's ever happened. It's don't take it like that makes me special in any way, right? It's this is literally they have to ascribe the hero's journey to everyone that comes on The Voice, and any way to sort of make that interesting. That's my assessment. It's the first time anyone's ever not got a turn and then been brought back within the same season because somebody dropped out. So I was de facto, I was like the first runner up, I guess. And then I went all the way to semi-finals. I do think very much it's the case that you've got a transgender person on The Voice. The whole point is you don't see the person. So I sung nothing special. I sung Just Like a Woman by Bob Dylan. And I was like reappropriating it for like an emotional way. They turned around. And then, that sort of don't match visually. And then I think the producers were like, why the fuck didn't you turn around like we told you to? This is the story that we were going to carry through the whole season. That's my assessment, but I'm not going to speak ill. It was an amazing experience. Properly fun. I ended up with Paloma Faith.
Oh, yeah. So the judges would have been Paloma Faith,
first year
Tom
Paloma.
Jones.
No, instead of Tom, we had Boy George for his first year on the UK
He was
season.
Great on it. I remember seeing some episodes of him.
He was so lovely, and he championed me as well. Like, so after The Voice and throughout, Lydia Lucy was one of my fellow contestants. My judge Paloma wanted to meet Lydia, and Boy George wanted to meet me. So we all went out for a little private dinner, while everything's going on. He's such a nice man.
Seemed like a nice guy.
And then we had Ricky Wilson and Will I Am.
I wasn't mad about Ricky Wilson, and not in any slight on him, but he was a big fan of sitting on the desk. Do you know when somebody, when there's a desk and people come out and they sit on it to have a chat, and I was like, fucking sit down in your chair, mate.
I don't know who Ricky Wilson is.
Kaiser Chiefs lead singer. Whatever happened to the Kaiser Chiefs?
Is that the Riot song, yeah?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And, I think that's just about as much as you're allowed to sing before you have to pay for it. So I think that's fine.
Finish the song then.
That's a shame. Tom Jones was on it. Was he just off, was that before he was on it? Or was he just off that season?
He's just off for that season. I presume he's come back. I've not seen any of
he's
them.
He's on it.
Since
he's back on it now. He's because
Boy George is a legend, though, isn't he?
He is a legend. We did talk about that briefly. Again, he was not listening to that chat.
Sorry, I was after just thinking about going home.
Very good.
Stories.
I thought Boy George had passed away. Is that right? No.
he's very much still alive. And
thinking of George Michael, maybe.
Boy George Michael.
I got followed on Twitter by Boy George, and I was whoa! And I looked, and he follows about 55,000 people, and I was like, "That's I don't know. He's probably got a bot that just follows people that get any amount of retweets." Is that him?
He's quite an avid user, isn't he? If you see him on his Instagram, he's always trying out the latest filters and stuff. It's quite sweet.
He also loves it. He's not afraid to engage with a dickhead on Twitter.
Definitely.
You know what I mean? He'll call out somebody who's being a bit of a knob, which is good fun. You know, I think sometimes there's certain celebrities who do that on Twitter, and I'm like, mate, what are you doing? You don't need to do it. You could literally mute everyone and you're fine. Whereas sometimes when they do it in a funny way, I'm like, oh, actually, that's good fun. Just watching Boy George just coat someone off online.
I know it's a cliche as well, but James Blunt's returns after the absolute what's the word, contrarian response to him being so popular, him just taking it on the chin and responding gold and
ultimately
every time.
Winning over a whole new wave of people. Because he is, I mean, I don't want to coat anyone off, but his success was quite interesting. You know, that it was like he sold so many.
That song was a tune, though, wasn't it? Don't you think?
It wasn't for me. It wasn't for me, but it's not my type of music. But then I find myself, I'm of that age where I find myself now feeling like
people. I mean, if it came on in the radio and you were driving late at night, would you like
crash on purpose?
I just cry.
But you do that with every song.
Oh, yeah.
It's because you're just depressed.
I do that with gangster rap.
But I am. It is an age thing as well, where now I find myself constantly hearing music and going like, I don't get it. And that's just something that's happened in the last few years. I just cannot, and like, it's the most successful song in the world. And I'm like, what the?
Where's
what
the rock and roll?
Yeah, just I feel like that. I've turned into my parents' age group.
I think it's important to share that with people, because a lot of people that love music, or it's a huge part of their life, myself included, you think you're the only one that's going through that. You think, what's wrong with me? No, there's got to be something about our genetic makeup. Yes. We're trying to conserve neurogenesis at this point. We're not going to take on new styles of music.
Yeah.
And then we'll make jokes about it, which is, of course, the way we deal with our own inherent tension. So every, like, mumble rap is, for me, was the line. I liked it a bit, but I'll make jokes about it. And anything from here, I don't get it.
Yeah. It's, yeah, I just, I'm trying to think of, like, I still hear the odd bit of new music and go like, oh, that's all right. But I just, there's not been.
What was the last thing you heard that you were like, oh, yeah, it's a bit
of me? Well, no, do you know what? I quite like some rap. I quite like, sort of modern stuff. I quite like a bit of UK sort of stuff. Right. I listened to that Dave's new album, which is good. That came out like 2 weeks ago. I had to listen to that. I was like, this is good stuff. You know, he's a very good writer. So there's stuff that I will go, all right, this is cool, but, like, you know, just a lot of it's made them, a lot of the very popular stuff I really struggle with, like, even like people like Ed Sheeran, like, you know, I'm not having a go at Ed Sheeran, I get it's not for me, but, you know, I just listen to it and I'm like, it just sounds like so much other stuff. Part of it is because there's so much music now. Do you know what I mean? Every generation there's been a sort of exponential growth of music, isn't there? Like, when my parents were young,
old stuff didn't go away, so it's all there now.
Yeah,
the library is more than you could ever listen
to. That's what I mean. Like, I've got a box of 45 old 45s here next to my record player, and they're basically, my uncle died years ago. We were clearing out his house, and I found, like, he had loads of old records, and I sort of plundered them, and there was this box of 45s, and, like, it was basically just the stuff that him and my aunt would buy. You know, they'd go out once a week with their pocket money and they'd buy a 45. And it's this amazing sort of, like, 4 years from, like, probably about 65 to maybe 70.
Do you wish it was a box full of his pocket money instead?
Just gold bullion.
What about you, Julian, man? What was the last thing you heard that you were like...
What, a new song?
Before you decided you don't care about music anymore.
No, Julian likes modern pop music.
Okay.
Like, I suppose when my daughter had Capital on in my car, like, a couple of years ago, I've just left it on. And I don't know, like, it also changes, doesn't it, with chart music, like, it's refreshed every couple of months.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
And I don't know, there's a lot of shit, but I don't know, I can like a song, I just like a catchy, I don't know, like, I still love Bob Dylan and you know, the Beatles and... Bob Marley. Bob Marley's probably my number one in my life, I guess. Yeah.
Oh yeah, you told me last time. I said to him, what is the music that's playing at the core of your being, do you think, all
the
time?
Good question that was.
And you said probably Marley and reggae. Like,
yeah,
I think it does inform who we are. Is like, if you know, you say, oh, what's your spirit animal or whatever, I think everyone's probably, there's a song playing at your core, not in a magical spiritual sense, like in a neurological sense, that if you went completely quiet in, like, one of those quiet rooms, that would start to come. What do you reckon?
Stir
is that
it
your...
Stir Up's a good song.
Redemption.
Mine would be Brian Eno. And Ending, which is, I think, my favourite song of all time. Even though it's sort of not really a song, almost. It's like, it's a noise. It's like, it's ambient sort of sounds.
But, I used to love that song Chandelier when that was out for a while. That's a tune, Chandelier. Isn't it?
That's a banger by Sia, yeah.
Oh, by Sia, yeah. Yeah. That's one with a cool video, isn't it? With a little girl dancing.
Yeah. Shia LaBeouf.
I sound like such a granddad. That's the one with a cool video.
Shia LaBeouf was in Elastic Heart, which was another banger by Sia.
Yeah, she's good, man.
Has he been? He's been sort of cancelled, Shia LaBeouf, hasn't he? Didn't he?
He's been getting a bit violent in
domestic violence.
We don't want that.
Because he's had a few. Didn't he? It was a period where he was sort of cancelled just for being hard. I think for being hard to work with,
and some then drunk driving and stuff.
Yeah, he was a bit problematic, and then he had a bit of a resurgence. And because I watched a thing called Hot. What's it called? What's that? It's a YouTube show where they eat hot wings.
Hot ones. It's called. Yeah.
And the Shia LaBeouf episode, I watched it. And I thought it was so funny, and I thought he came across really well. And I was like, right, he's had a bit of a resurgence, all is forgiven, and then now he's fucking done again. I was like, God damn it!
Yeah.
It was abusing his ex or something. Oh, well, that was there was an article about it.
Yeah,
I wasn't
there. But what was your song, Jordan? What was your song that plays when everything's quiet?
I reckon it's that the opening song from Nightmare Before Christmas. This is Halloween. This is Halloween. Pumpkin scream in the dead of night. There is a song in the middle of that film where Jack has gone to Christmas Town and he's loving it, but it's new. So because he's from Halloween Town, his brain can't comprehend what it is.
Sorry, can you hear that? Somebody's gone past with the biggest sound system in a car I've heard in a long time.
This is Halloween.
Like, sorry, yeah. So that literally, my room just shook when that drove past, so I couldn't hear it properly. Sorry,
that's so ironic that you couldn't hear the song. There's a bit where he's come back from Christmas Town and then he's in his tower and he's trying to figure out the meaning of Christmas, and it's the sweetest, loveliest thing because he's got like candy canes in like chemistry jars and there's all this map on the thing because he can't comprehend what Christmas is. And that, I think that's the one in my head. I don't quite get most things, but I like breaking them apart, and that's my song.
Yeah. It's I did like a sort of a little interview thing with a music magazine a few weeks ago where I had to design my dream album, right? But it's a fun game because it's not like your normal one where it's like you'd pick 10 songs if you were creating an album. This one was every song had to be that numbered song on that album. So you had to pick your favorite ever opening song on an album, your favorite ever second song on an album. And it's quite a hard thing to get into. But
you got your phone handy to check it out, presumably.
It took a lot of research, I bet, didn't it?
Well, I sort of just basically went through my favourite albums and worked out. And so what I actually found out, weirdly, most of my favourite songs are in the first three songs of any album, which is weird. I don't know
Do you think that's generally where they put the best?
I don't know, but I found it so easy. Like each for one to three, probably maybe one to four. I could have picked one of five songs. You know what I mean? Like I could have picked. I had so many options, but once I got past that, actually, I got to my favorite albums and the song and that song that coincided with that number. It was quite like, I've got one for this number that I can find without spending 2 days sort of poring over all my favorite albums.
Wait, what's your favorite album?
My favorite album. Well, again, it's mood question. Dependent. Like my favorite album is probably that album that Brian Eno song's on. It's called Apollo. What's it called? It's got Apollo Atmospheres and Soundtracks. But on most days that would probably be my favorite album. On other days it would be, I feel like The Pogues, Rum, Sodomy and the Lash is another one of my favorite albums.
Blimey. Yeah.
What about you, Jordan?
Yeah, what's your good? Let's do yours.
There was this really trendy period in the noughties when artists would have like concept albums like Green Day and Blink-182. The album was like a whole piece of art. And then like track 7 would be someone reading a letter from their grandfather in the war or whatever. And I like those. So it'd be the Pink Album by Blink-182 probably. Or Muse, is it Absolution? I think is an excellent album. I've done in my lifetime before comedy, I've done 7 albums, and there is a sort of a formula of where you're going to stick the songs. The various, we can't hear that as much as you can, Carl. We can see reacting to that sound.
There's a lot going on outside my place at the minute. It's so weird.
Not so bad. The place that you put the wacky sort of left field song, you can do that sort of maybe third or fourth.
Yeah.
And big ballad at the end, and then if you've got a big Bohemian Rhapsody type thing that's too uncommercial, that'd be the last track.
What do you open with though? Is it open with the most palatable mainstream one?
The thing that is the most you, I think, is a good starter. But then a lot of artists will say, "Yeah, but I'm most of the other stuff is commercial. I just do that for the commerciality, and this is me."
Yeah.
But if you're a successful artist, you've already connected with what you are, and you've made that commercial, or you've just resigned yourself to being commercial and retroactively decided that's who you are. That's why I quit music. We brought out an album, a single, and it cost like 11 grand to. That's a lie. How much did it cost? Like 6.5 grand or something like that with the video. And it was, I keep getting told off for saying this, it was shit. It wasn't a bad song, but it was the most boring thing I've ever heard. And I was like, I put loads of effort into that, but we spent so much money and the producers coming in, and it turned into like this dance song. I've never done a dance song in my life, but it was after The Voice. We're like, oh yeah, let's get this out there. This is going to be a banger. It was just homogenous shit being added to loads of homogenous shit.
I often find, and again, this is again producer dependent, but that's what I find with a lot of, and when I sound like an old man, when I say like modern music, I feel like you can always hear similar production styles of what's in vogue at that point, you know? Yeah. And like, so I just, that's what I find when if I'm in fucking H&M and they've got like, just like their generic pop that's out at that minute that is playing, all of it sounds like it's been produced by the same person. They've all got the similar sounds and noises.
It has a lot. There's probably about 10 people in there.
Yeah,
and they're almost all Swedish. They're almost all Swedish or Norwegian. There's a sound at the moment that's in every dance remix, and it's that really plinky electric piano. So that's in almost all dance remixes.
So it's weird. I'm not I like producers that go a bit off piste.
Do you think they sometimes like have a computer program that they put all of the best melodies ever in, and they can kind of get melodies so a computer can write a hook and stuff? Do they do that?
I'm sure that
like it's science based.
There is a an article come out recently. It's the most fascinating thing they've taken. So what it's what you've said, but not for the purposes of creating songs, but for the purposes of studying the progression of music. The songs from the 70s, but before that actually, so almost like late 50s onwards to now, the musical tonal dynamics of a song, they show it visually on a graph, has gone from this really wide range in terms of volume, quiet to loud in a single song, chord progressions of a single song, has gone from this huge thing to a tiny, tiny sliver of a bracket. Everything's condensed into the same decibel range and everything so it can be mixed at the same tempo, is like the same, no tempo changes. Imagine a massive banger coming out now that had a tempo change, how difficult that is to mix then into a dance song. So it's written so it can be slotted into a dance mix in a club. But then the stuff from yesteryear, you know, the vocal ranges, the dynamics of it all, the cadence and the timbre, that stuff is just now a sliver.
I was gonna say that. I think it's the timbre.
You do use that word a lot, Julian.
The
instrumentation as well, like stuff that instruments that just don't get used unless it's for a novelty now and a dance song. Someone will come along with like a hurdy-gurdy, just do a and then that's on a loop for the song.
Well, the looping is a thing, isn't it? Like, this is another song that was on my perfect album was it was a hard one to pick number 10. I was really trying to wrap my brains to think of a great number 10 off an album, and I ended up going for Bound off Kanye's Yeezus, right? Which I think is an absolute masterpiece of an album. But what I love about that album, when I was sorting out my playlist, I listened to that whole album again just when I was on like a train, and I forgot that if you want to see it, listen to an album that feels like it's being produced by a madman, it's that album. Because when you talk about sort of tempo shift, there's bits where songs just become another song out of the blue, and it's so the whole album just catches you off guard so many times. And I know he's a bit of a divisive figure, Kanye, but I mean I don't think you can dispute he's a fucking genius as well.
Yeah, you can separate the art from the policy or that.
Yeah, because he is. And also
Glitter as well, isn't it? You can do that.
I do quite like Kanye as well. I know he's I think he's obviously troubled.
I often. Really like him as well. I just think he's like dancing to his own tune, isn't he?
I mean, like, yeah, definitely.
100%.
It's the old Nietzsche quote, isn't it? Those were thought to be insane. Yeah, no, lest we forget those that were thought to be insane by those who could not hear the music.
Yeah,
he's got
yeah,
something exactly. going on in his head that we can't hear, and he's dancing along to that.
Yeah. And it's where like genius comes from, isn't it? It's definitely. Not going to be completely conforming.
No, but a lot of people just write off his music who don't really listen to hip hop because they just see him and the things he does in public, and they just sort of assume he's shit.
I do think he phoned it in on Extraterrestrial with Katy Perry. Did you hear his bit?
I didn't
in that?
Listen to it.
It's like a really, it's quite an ethereal pop. It could be a Björk song if it wasn't for Kanye jumping in, and then Kanye. So it's like you know, get inside my membrane, and then Kanye's like. There's a bar out in Mars where they drive in spaceships instead of cars. And it's like, you phoned that in at the last 10 minutes.
Yeah. There's a few, like, I always think whenever you hear Snoop Dogg appear on a pop track, you're like, that fucking guy just took the money, just had a spliff and just walked into the studio and said some bullshit and just went home, man. He's on so many songs where he just comes in and goes, California, and just fucks off. And you're like... and you're like, yep, Snoop, he got his paycheck.
Probably sent it in from a voice note.
Oh, my God.
They're like, Snoop, what have you got for us for this song? Hey, just let me think. California.
It's
off he goes.
It's not about California.
Yes.
It's about it's London.
Yeah, it's a London Calling reboot. London.
That's a tune, actually, isn't it?
He's become like a... He's such a pop culture icon that I love how he's crossed over into... You'll often see him on like the Comedy Central roasts.
Yeah.
Snoop Dogg is there.
Yeah.
Well,
he's everything. Like, he'll do adverts. Yeah. He's become sort of...
He commentated the boxing fight the other day, didn't he? He does a bit of that.
He's transcended to like super celebrity level where...
And you can't
judge him for any of it. Like, he's one of these people that... He'll do the Just Eat adverts. You're like, I'll give him that. He's funny. It's funny. It's actually quite a good tune as well.
Yeah, that is a tune, actually.
Yeah. It's very rare that you'd see an advert song. You're like, oh, that's actually, you know, I like that. But
it's like Kevin Bacon. You can just get away with it now. Because he's committed to it. Although, I don't know, if you see the same thing.
Harvey Keitel as well, isn't it?
Yeah, he does, yeah.
Yeah.
De Niro, I think, hasn't... Them De Niro adverts, the one where he does with the car where he's dressed like a hipster... I found that quite cringy. I was like, this
not
isn't...
Seen that.
You've not got to Kevin Bacon
advert
skills yet.
Do you think they're running out of money, some of these guys? Well,
Kevin Bacon, I heard the reason he suddenly just started appearing in these EE adverts and stuff out of the blue was he lost loads of money in the financial crash in 2008. Like, he had loads of money. All of his, like, apart from like his assets, his houses, whatever, all of his savings essentially was tied up in, you know, whatever sort of funds and stuff that were... I just got... totally wiped out, so he basically became very cash poor, and that's why he just suddenly was back in the game. Get them adverts, mate.
Sitting in audition rooms in Soho. You've got to read a part with him. That'd be fucked up, man.
Have you ever done any acting, Jordan, or thought about it?
Yeah, so I just created and co-starred in a show for Comedy Central.
Oh, of course you did. I saw you share it on Twitter. I saw the sort of show image. It looked really cool.
Oh, man, it's such a joy.
Where was it on?
That was a Comedy Central short form show that's now been acquired by
Had you acted
company.
Before that?
Only theatre. And I'm not... I know... that my range is the Russell Brand trajectory. I can play myself with a slightly different haircut for my whole career. But unless it's a bizarrely wacky character, I've just done Clunkerdunk, Mind of Herbert Clunkerdunk. So that I can't say what it is, but it's weird. If it's really out there, but I'd love to just do a 180 and do some serious stuff, but I don't know if I can... I think I'm pretty shallow. I wouldn't know what to tap into. I'm not a Brechtian performer. I have to be sort of Stanislavskian about it, and I'd have to go into the mind of that character, which means I can only be who I am.
I won't name the person, but a comedy friend once was doing a role and was doing a quite a vastly different accent to their own. And we bumped into each other at a funeral of a joint friend, and he was this. He was talking in a weird accent at the funeral, and I went, "You all right, mate? What's that voice?" And he was like, "Yeah, no, I'm in character. I'm just trying to get this voice." I was like, "Mate, you're at a fucking funeral. Do you know what I mean? You're not Brando. Just shelve the accent for an hour." And you know what I mean? It felt a bit sort of off.
Pretentious.
You know? Yeah, well, I suppose it was such a different accent. I think he genuinely felt like he had to live in it to get it right. Do you know what I mean? But it did feel like it's. Well, I'm sure
not a funeral.
What was it? I think I quoted it for some reason on here the other week about that old one of, was it Al Pacino and Laurence Olivier when they were doing, like Al Pacino was talking about his method and all this sort of like getting into the character, and Laurence Olivier just went, "Have you ever tried acting, darling?"
So, yeah.
That's it, the two schools. And if you've earned it, then the Stanislavski, I think I've gotten the right way around, the Stanislavski and getting into the method acting.
Yeah.
That, if you've got that skill set, but if you don't and you're coming at it cold, that's the most pretentious thing ever. That's silly. Do you ever watch that documentary? This isn't really a judgment, but did you ever watch the Man on the Moon documentary about Jim Carrey going into the...
Yes.
Yeah. Like, so he's not a trained... He's actually a terrific serious actor, is Jim Carrey.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
But he didn't, to my knowledge, is a comedian, come up through comedy 100% into films. He didn't go to comedy school, and he just decided to show up as Andy Kaufman and be Andy Kaufman, and it fucked people off six months of filming. Yeah,
it's a hard. I think it's. It is. You know, some people just have the skill. Some of them old school. You know, I think a lot of the old sort of Shakespeare legends of like Gielgud and all that could just sort of just turn it on, innit? But it's a different style of acting as well.
It's a weird skill to have, isn't it? It's like they can just lie, like just become like it's like
shapeshifters.
Yeah, shapeshifting, yeah.
I'm very, very familiar with the shapeshifting.
Your internet's gone all funny, Julian. You went all sort of robot-y there. Can you hear us?
I know, I've been like battling it for about 20 minutes.
That's all right. I'll snip it out. Right? I can hear you now. Would you ever do acting training?
Me?
Yeah.
I've got too much of an ego. And everyone thinks that they're special and like, no, I do it differently. And I know that deep down that's not true, but I can't do anything. Like, I can't do yoga. I couldn't get a personal trainer because I'd be like, this is how I move. This is how my body moves. You can't tell me how my body moves. But that is going to limit me potentially. If it was a proper serious role, I don't know, like Marvel, that's my dream. I want to be a superhero. If someone was like, you have to bulk up and like proper learn this stuff. Yeah, definitely. If the ends justify the means.
Yeah.
But not preemptively.
No, that's like in the past we've discussed how the dream is to get a role where they sort of say you need to get in such good shape that we're going to give you you can put you in like a proper personal trainer boot camp for 6 months. They're going to do everything, make your food, and you literally just have 6 months to get so in such good shape, and then just get paid for it at the same time.
That'd be amazing.
It's all of our dreams. We should probably wrap it up because we've been talking for nearly an hour.
It's been a great giggle, though. Thanks, lads.
It's flown by. It's been lovely talking to you. People can find you online.
If they like, at Tall Dark Friend, which is a conversation for another time.
Can they listen to your song that you criticised and said it's rubbish on Spotify?
Probably. Like, I've literally resigned my whole life of that life to the past, but there's stuff out there. There's videos, there's plenty. Oh, they're all under Tall Dark Friend, except that one, which was my first and only song under my own name, Jordan Wayne.
Okay.
And what about the voice stuff is probably on YouTube, is it?
Oh, the voice stuff's on there. Proud to that. Yeah, I do Real Gone Kid by
Deacon Blue.
Deacon Blue. It's a banger, and I've done that all right.
It's a great song. People can watch the Comedy Central show online, or is it?
Yes, that's Transaction. So you can watch. That's a short form show, and when it inevitably makes its way to the big screen, no, the medium screen, TV, not the cinema, you'll be able to watch that from the comfort of your own living room.
Excellent. Well, thanks for coming on.
Yeah.
And we'll hopefully see you again soon.
Well done for the podcast, lads. It's fantastic.
Well, cheers.
Oh, thank you.
Julian, any final words?
God bless.
God bless. Let's end on that. We're recording this on Sunday. It's God's day. So let's wish everyone. Is it Sabbath Saturday or Sunday?
Oh, it might be Saturday.
Let's not get into this now. We're wrapping it up. Let's not get
it's
into
every
this.
Every day for me.
It is. That's what we've always said. Thanks, Jordan. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you next time. Bye.
We're actually changing the podcast.
I think you're right. I'm a diabetes in an alleyway. I'm all right, bro.